So you're an introvert or an extrovert. Each of us, whether we're introverts or extroverts, need very specific strategies in our mind on how to hold great conversations. This week we're going to talk about presentations that specifically deal with your personality type. Let's say you're an introvert. Let's say you're an extrovert. Today we're going to be dealing with if you're more of an introvert. Now, some of you extroverts say, well, I don't have to listen to this. Oh, no. You need to listen to this as well. You will learn many valuable things. Or you introverts, I don't have to listen to the extrovert one. No, this week is important for everybody because it's more knowledge and insight on how to become a great conversationalist. Sandra Lowe wrote a book about talking to anyone, the ultimate guide on how to engage and talk to anyone you meet. And we're going to utilize her insights in talking to introverts today on how to communicate with everyone. The fact about being a conversationalist. Here are the facts. No one is born a great conversationalist, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert. Early in life, people learn to connect with others through verbal communication. But many factors start to affect the quality at which these communication skills are developed. These include internal factors, such as having an inherently shy personality. Maybe that's you. Or as well as external factors, such as having little exposure to people while they were still growing up. Or maybe because they had negative past experiences when trying to talk with older people. Here are some of the facts. Since being a great communicator is an acquired skill, inherent factors can be overpowered by means of continuous learning and skill refinement. All you need are the right tools that will help you acquire such skills and the willingness to incorporate these skills in your daily life. In most cases, not getting through this crucial first step is the only reason why you are having difficulty connecting with people until now. So this is what I want each of you to do, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, or whether you're an experienced conversationalist or not, just reset yourself into this process today. Start by acknowledging the fact that you need to change some aspects of yourself when it comes to communicating with others. For example, if your reason for not engaging in conversations with people is they do not interest you, is it possible that you are only rationalizing your fear of being judged negatively the moment you share a bit of yourself to them? So is it an internal thing that holds you back? It is therefore important to take time to acknowledge those factors you hold responsibility for. Reflect over your actions and decide to change them for the better. So, before we can talk about an introvert becoming an excellent conversationalist, you and I need to accept the fact that some changes need to occur. So, what are we going to do? What's the plan? Well, then pinpointing negative habits and behavior. After firstly acknowledging the need for change, you need to identify specifically what negative habits and behaviors you have. Okay, I'll give you an example. Let's say in a conversation, you're trying to have a conversation and you're constantly rubbing your hands or brushing your face. That's a negative habit or behavior. So get in front of the mirror and now say, what would you like instead? So instead, practice asserting conversation without rubbing. Maybe you use your hands, but not like this. So you talk using your hands freely. In the next chapter in this discussion that Sandra Lowe brings to us, in the next chapter, you'll learn certain behaviors common to people who have difficulty with starting, sustaining, and ending conversations. Identify carefully the behaviors you know and know their extent. So in other words, you want to really get somebody to even help you there, maybe your spouse or maybe a friend. And it can be difficult when you're trying to look honestly at your communication habits, because you're going to want them to really tell you what they see are things that are negative. Most people can read when you struggle with something, so you might as well know what it is. So then identify those positive behaviors to replace the old ones. For each negative behavior you have, identify the opposite behavior that applies to them. Then turn them into your new objective. Try to lay out a comprehensive guideline for yourself on how to maintain these new behaviors. In addition, always remind yourself to grab every opportunity for conversation so you can test out these new behaviors. So it's a process where you're going to look honestly at yourself, and then you're going to replace those negative behaviors with positive ones. What will happen next is you start incorporating these positive behaviors in your daily life. At first, it may be difficult for you to act out your new behaviors simply because they are something you're not accustomed to doing. But just keep at it until you feel comfortable. Do not expect to be successful instantly, as you may undergo several trials and errors, instances before you eventually consider them as your normal behavior. All you need is the determination to push through your goals, and with that, you will surely reap the fruit of your hard work at the end of the day, Sandra Lowe says. Now, I can tell you from my own experience. I remember when I was a teenager, age 16, and I worked for a frozen food store, a frozen food department in a grocery store. But anyway, I recall we would go out to lunch, and for some reason I had this bad habit of crossing my arms when I was talking. So I'd sort of look up, and I remember the manager who was there and said, "Henry, you gotta stop crossing your arms like that." And I said, "Well, why?" "Well, you cross your arms, you look to me like you don't care about what I'm saying, that you don't like what I'm saying." And I was like, "No, that's not how I felt." But somehow when I grew up, I saw a lot of people cross their arms. And I've seen that over life now. When people cross their arms, it comes to me like something is defensive or people are not into the conversation. So you want to look at these negative behaviors honestly and look for a positive alternative. So what are you going to deal with? Well, if you're an introvert or not comfortable with conversations, you're going to look at your lack of self-confidence. This is perhaps the most common reason why people do not engage in conversations. Shy people may consider the fear of rejection or criticism as the main reason why they avoid being with group. However, the jolly and outgoing ones actually do experience the same fear at some point or another. The difference lies in how they handle their fear. Optimistic, assertive people learn to control their fears by practicing their conversation skills. I remember in high school when I had to make a presentation, or I even had to talk in job interview to even get that frozen food job. I remember going in front of the mirror and practicing what I was going to say. I'd actually watch myself practice, and I learned a lot of stuff about just communicating and being assertive. Even though it means going through trial and error, if I were to tell you how many times I have stuck my foot in my mouth, you would laugh. And I still do it. A good way to handle this is to accept the fact that it is only human to make mistakes. Everyone gets a fair share of committing errors in conversation. And those who seem to be very good conversationalists have gone through a long way achieving what they have now, meaning that it just is difficult to get into practice. Accept that you will not connect with everyone, so bring what you have to the table. If I look at over my life and just over my last week, Sometimes I'll start a conversation and it will go someplace. Other times I won't. But every single conversation, I learn something. I learn something about myself. I learn something about other people. It is an exciting adventure. However, if done quite often as necessary, you have to put a conscious effort to go out and mingle with people, to find something interesting in them so that your warm and friendliness will naturally come out. The oft quote saying, "No man is an island," plays a big role in this situation. Just think of that rewarding feeling when you once shared your happiness with other people. Think of that comforting feeling at a point in your life when people helped you strive along through rough waters when some storm hit you. So as you are dealing with your own abilities and conversation, there may be somebody comes to you and you're just not interested, but how do you get that attitude to take interest in everybody? Maybe another thing that holds you back from being a conversationalist is just not your lack of people interest. Maybe it's just your lack of knowledge. To address this, you have to be knowledgeable about various fields such as current events, sports, history, music, arts, culture. Aim at reading one book a month or more. Choose your books from a variety of topics and genres. Learning things that do not interest you is a good way to start this. So do you love people? Maybe you have to get over a wall that you just lack of people interest. Or maybe it's just you don't have anything to say, lack of knowledge. And you can fix that. You know, one of the magazines over the years that I've subscribed to is The Economist. The reason I love The Economist magazine is because The Economist has all these little interesting things that you would never read anywhere else in that magazine. Those became interesting topics in making a conversation. So, now let's get very practical. We've talked about some of the issues, whether you're an introvert or whether you like people, and let's talk practically now about starting a conversation. When trying to initiate a conversation, some people mull over their opening line for a long time, so they end up overthinking and they mess up their delivery. Eventually, they run out of guts to start a conversation. Have you been in that situation? One general principle is to consider is that your opening is not extremely important. What matters is that you say what you say afterwards. In other words, say anything to get started if that's what it takes. Right from the start, you just have to deliver your message in a friendly and self-assured manner. Talk to them as if you are old friends. Do not be restrained. You know, don't hold back. So the other person realizes that you're at ease. Don't be too courteous and too polite. A lot of times in a conversation, and I know that's for me, is just get going. Say something. Have that warm, loving attitude, and that is what shows. Let's say you're faced with a situation where people are talking, and maybe you're at the church or you're at another meeting and you want to join a conversation between some people, 2-3 people already in progress. How do you do that? Well, here's a skill. Breaking into an ongoing conversation needs a slightly different approach than initiating one. First thing to consider is the openness and closeness of a group for new participants. To me, when I read this, I think about joining a church is a slightly different approach than planting a church. In joining an existing church, the first thing to ask is, are they open or do they have their cliques and are they closed? And so that's how it is in general. Some groups may be warm to anyone who wants to join, while others are composed of close friends exclusively discussing a subject. So when you think about joining an existing conversation, you have to read that a little bit. And you're going to know within a few moments whether there's openness. Here are some strategies. One common entrance strategy is to try listening to bits of the conversation and contribute when appropriate. Sometimes this entails physically joining or sitting down with a group of people talking, or it may just be done by just being near them enough so you can jump in or start talking when the chance arises. Just make sure to wait for a small pause, like that silence, before interjecting so you do not blatantly cut off others who are talking. It's usually appropriate to join in by introducing yourself. Hi everyone, how's it going? I'm Tony. However, this could refocus the discussion to you and would require another round of getting to know you questions. If it seems inappropriate to cause such kind of interruption, you may introduce yourself immediately, return back to track by saying something like this. So anyway, what were you guys talking about? So, in other words, hi, I'm Henry. Oh, so now you were talking about basketball now, and so you can put it to yourself very quickly and then move it right back to the conversation. This way you will not be interrupting the conversation and calling attention to you. Another way to start talking to someone in a group is just another way to start talking to someone on a group's timeline. In periphery, who seems to have loosened up interest with the group's discussion. Start initiating a one-on-one chat and use this as a means to eventually talk to the rest of the group. In other words, somebody just seems to sort of lose interest. Maybe it's looking at their cell phone or their iPad, and you can just talk to that one person, and then somehow that gets you back into the group. Another method similar to this is starting a chat with someone who leaves the group for a while. Talk to him while he's alone. Go with him as he then rejoins his friends afterwards. So having a little side conversation, or if someone leves, talk to that person comes back, then that person in a sense can introduce, hi, this is Sam, I just met Sam. Now let's talk about sustaining a conversation. So we talked first about starting one, whether it's initiating a conversation or whether it's joining a conversation. Let's talk now about how to sustain a conversation. So you're in the conversation. Now you need to keep it going. Stick to open-ended questions. Make sure to listen. Know what the other person wants to talk about. This is very important. If you're not sensitive to what their interests are, if you don't ask enough questions to know, the conversation will quickly die down. Sticking to these open-ended questions is very important. You need to ask a follow-up question or another open-ended question on a different topic. Remember that a yes-no question is a chat killer, because it is often an easy way out for them to respond to you. Okay, yes. Instead of asking, you attended McKinley High in 2005, right? Instead, try asking, what was it like studying in McKinley High in 2005? The latter question necessitates them to expound their answer and simply not give you a yes-no answer. In sustaining a conversation, it's about listening. Too often when people meet someone new, they're inclined to talk about themselves too much as an attempt to fill in the dead moments. Though someone has to start a conversation, you should be too conscious about what to say next, not because you lose crucial elements in establishing a two-way conversation, and that crucial element is listening. So though someone has to start a conversation, you should not be too conscious about what to say next, because then you'll lose that crucial element in a two-way conversation, and that is listening. So you start a conversation, keep the listening going. Knowing what the other person wants to talk about. Different people have different interests. Finding out what the other person enjoys talking about could help steer your conversation. Generally, people like to talk about themselves, their passions or hobbies, their career, their family, or their friends. A simple question about these topics could make them chatter for quite a while. So, if you're worried about how to keep a conversation sustainable, Get people talking about themselves. Mind your body language. Your body language is an important, powerful aspect of your overall impact as a conversationalist. People do not only listen to your verbal, what you say, output, but your nonverbal language as well. So like when you're talking to someone, if you're talking, you know, I really know that you went to McKinley High. You look at your cell phone. You know, people, that just shuts everything down. But hey, what was it like to study at McKinley High in 2005? See, if you have that type of a response, people want to answer and you have that open-ended question. Remember, always remember these body language basics. Do not cross your arms or legs. It gives an impression that you cannot be trusted or that you may not be open to different points of views or opinions. It may also indicate that you are not comfortable with your body. Maintain good eye contact, but do not stare. Keep your body, especially your shoulders, relaxed. Tension in the shoulders can be easily spotted, which can make the other person feel uneasy. Nod frequently and lean forward. Nodding indicates that you are keeping along, whereas leaning forward tells of your interest. These are just crucial body language things that all of you can master no matter how introverted you are. Be aware of current events. Current events are always helpful to spark up a conversation, especially at moments when you are running out of things to talk about. Saying something like, hey, did you hear the latest news between Ukraine and Russia? It seems that to start another opportunity for a lively dialogue and additional knowledge. So always be aware of current events or events within the subgroup. If you're at a church and you're a pastor, what you want to do is find ways to, hey, did you hear about the Sunday school topic tomorrow? These are just ways to just keep the conversations going. Now, in every conversation, there are moments of awkwardness. And diffuse a moment of awkwardness. There will really be instances that you will hit these bumps in the road of a conversation. So instead of making moments of silence a chance for either of you to feel awkward, look at the other person in the eyes, smile, reassure them that the silence means you have not lost interest in the conversation or with them. Comment on the silence jokingly. Oh, it's kind of quiet here. All of those things diffuse the awkwardness. Now, when you're talking to someone and you're sustaining a conversation, don't worry about deep conversations in the process. And as a pastor, especially, and a spiritual leader, people know that we're interested in the things of God. Although it may be difficult for some people to pull off, many take pleasure in bringing their discussion a little deeper after they have gotten past the formalities. Do not be afraid to go deep. With a sharp question, and I don't mean by sharp as in critical question, but a question that's pointed. Like, what's your spiritual dream? I'm interested. If it's already someone who's coming to your church, after you converse a little while or you're a pastor, so why did you come to this church? It goes a little deeper. If you sense the other person likes more than superficial talk, and you'll find that many people will talk to you as a spiritual leader, and they'll want to talk about issues of their soul. Remember always to be genuinely enthusiastic. Do not fake attention because it causes a delay in your reaction. The other person will eventually get the hint that you are not engaged in the conversation after sensing a lag in your response. Do not communicate only to inform, but to tell stories. Make a conscious effort to spark up the emotion and the imagination of the people listening to you. They can vividly describe a situation and create an atmosphere of excitement, fear, sadness, or any emotion as appropriate to the content of the message. So here you are in a conversation, and remember to ground your conversation not in just cold facts, but also in emotion. And let them know that you are excited about conversing with them. So, we've had a conversation, we started one or we joined one. We've talked about some tips about sustaining a conversation, and Sandra Lowe has just given us so many insights. Now let's talk about tips on ending a conversation. However, others can have actually lost their chatty mood or would like to keep the conversation short. For whatever reason, whatever it is, it's important to end a conversation politely and still in a friendly tone. Your response also depends on the context of the situation and the depth of your relationship with these people. So, know that there are times to end a conversation. When ending a conversation, end with a positive comment. The first and most common strategy is dropping a positive comment before letting go of a chat. With that, you entirely negate the possible feeling of inadequacy of the person with whom you are talking. For example, you can say something like, "Hey, Ryan, I really enjoyed our conversation." I mean, I have said that many, many times. "Hey, James, I'm glad we talked. Thanks for giving me some fascinating ideas to think about." See, in the process, it makes someone feel good and you're ending on a positive note. The next strategy is reviewing or laying out a summary of the main themes that you've discussed. In this way, you can reassure the other person that you were genuinely engaged in the conversation that you had, and now you've come to this great interchange of ideas. Sometimes people add a plan after starting the summary. So it could be something like, "You know, we talked today about a program in this church, and I really appreciate your ideas. And this was a very helpful discussion. And let's talk again about the next time this situation comes up in the church and what we can do about it." See, it's actually wrapping it up and even having a next step. Or let's plan to meet for lunch sometime and talk about what we're going to do. Another way to end a conversation is giving an excuse. This does not mean your conversation partner annoys you or bores you, but simply because other matters demand your attention. You can say something like, "Hey, I think I need to get back to work already. Gotta beat a pressing deadline." Or, "I need to go now. I'm late for my next appointment." Now, don't lie. As pastors, I know that this often happens where there's something we can say and we need to move on. It's better to have a really common good excuse that's totally honest. And sometimes we need to honestly use them. Take note that when given the excuse, support it with a reason. In this way, you are being more polite to finish off with an overall feeling of delight. So when you say, "You know what, George, I need to go. I need to prepare for my sermon yet today." Or, you know, just little things like that. Because sometimes you'll get into a conversation and it just will go on, and you really need to go. And you can't seem to conclude the conversation, but you just need to be very, very transparent. And be transparent also about why you need to move on. You know, when we are trying to become conversationalists, it really is a lot of effort and commitment to this process. But I want to give you this encouragement. You may not feel comfortable today, but if you take this process serious, you will be people smart in conversations very soon.